Well, good morning. I'm glad you're able to join in hearing God's word. Let me ask you this question. How do you know when someone has not only heard a command or an order, but understood that command or an order? For instance, as a parent, I remember my mom saying to me things like, clean up your room, or take out the trash. Well, actually, it wasn't my mom. It was more my dad. And the indication or the indicator that I not only heard what they were saying to me was that I actually followed through or did what they were saying to me. Perhaps an even, you could say, greater indicator that I not only heard them, but I understood what they were saying to me is the fact that now years later, I actually catch myself saying things to my own kids that remind me or that, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what my mom and my dad used to say to me. Now, I myself am saying these things to my own kids. That perhaps is an even greater indicator that not only did I understand it, but that I accepted it and did it myself. And I'm actually passing it on to another individual. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at a passage that not only shows us how one person passes something along to another person. They themselves hear it. They themselves do it. But how they're able to do that and why they're able to do that, particularly from a scriptural or a Christian perspective. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 18. And if you were with us last week, you recall that I started a new message series on owning your faith. And in particular, I talked about the idea or the subject matter of not only owning your faith, but passing on your faith in a sense. Like in a relay race where you pass on the baton from one runner to the next, you are not only running your particular segment of the race, but once you're done, you pass on the baton to another runner who then runs their segment of the race. We're going to see that not so much in running a race, but in, you could say, living a life of faith. What's not only needed to run that race, but what's at the center, or you could say the foundation, of successfully running that race. If you have your Bibles, again, I'd like you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 18. We start off by looking at verses 1 to 9. And let me just read those verses. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, for the land of the Hittite to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law, Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I know this is a longer passage that we typically read, but this passage in particular tells us what Joshua is to do. Among other things, in particular, among other things, he is to be strong and courageous. Verses 6 and verses 7 emphasize that fact. Where Joshua, where the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and courageous in verse 6. And verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And not only does the Lord say that to Joshua, but in verse 9, he says it once again for the third time in just three verses. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. God wants to make it very clear to Joshua what he is to do. Be strong and courageous. Now, why might Joshua in particular need to hear this message, particularly from the Lord? Well, verse 1, the beginning of verse 1 tells us that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that's when God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. That's the context for the Lord to say this to Joshua. And if you recall from last week, Joshua heard a similar or perhaps even the same message from Moses, right? You recall in Deuteronomy chapter 31, for those of you who are here, or even if you weren't here, you could take a look in Deuteronomy chapter 31, in particular verse 6, where Moses is speaking to all the people, all the Israelites. And that most likely, probably includes Joshua. He is within that crowd that is hearing Moses tell the people to be strong and courageous. And then, in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 31, Moses then, you could say, singles Joshua out. He calls him to come forward in front of all the people to reiterate to him personally or directly to be strong and courageous. And later on in that same chapter, God, you could say, privately calls Moses and Joshua to him. And he tells them, be strong and courageous. So Joshua has heard this commandment to be strong and courageous three times in the past. And now in Joshua chapter 1, you could say it is Joshua's turn to tell the people of Israel to be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Joshua has heard it from Moses, from the Lord directly. Now he in turn is telling the Israelites the same message that he has received. And I would argue he has believed. He is now passing it on to the people and telling them to be strong and courageous. But not only do we see what Joshua does, but we see the reason why he does what he does. And that's also found in verses 1 to 9. In particular, verses 5 and 9. Let me just read those verses. Joshua says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Or actually, excuse me, this is the Lord saying to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Later in verse 9, the Lord also says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Once again, for Joshua, I would say that he has heard these same things, the same thing from Moses speaking to all the Israelites. That not only are you to be strong and courageous, but the reason why you are to be strong and courageous is because the Lord your God goes with you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6, verse 8, you could look at those passages. Hopefully you'll look at those passages. Tell us the people why they could be strong and courageous. We talked about the importance of not only what to do, but just as if not even more importantly, why you are to do it. In this passage, Joshua is telling the Israelites to be strong and courageous. And Joshua himself has heard the same message about the need, the necessity to be strong and courageous. But not only is something that he needs to do, he's telling the Israelites they need to do, but why they can do it. And that's because the Lord their God goes with them. He will not leave them nor forsake them. Now, this doesn't imply or mean that things will go exactly the way we expect or hope or like. That we may never or will never encounter difficulties, setbacks, hardships, struggles. But what God is saying to Joshua and the Israelites, and what he says to us today as New Testament believers, is that he will not leave us. In the midst of those difficulties, in the midst of those struggles, in the midst of those surprises of life, he will not leave us nor forsake us. And perhaps in the context, in the circumstances of your life today, you need to be reminded of that fact. You need to hear that fact. And not only hear it, but perhaps in some way, shape, or form, be able to communicate that truth to another person. Be strong and courageous, because God does not leave us nor forsake us. In a way, in the New Testament, Jesus said that very same message or a similar message to his disciples. If you recall, if you're familiar with the passage, I believe it's in the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, on the night of his betrayal, just before he's arrested and ultimately crucified on the cross. He's meeting in the upper room. I believe it's they're about ready to celebrate Passover. And he says to the disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will not, in essence, abandon you. I will not desert you," knowing full well that in a very short time, he is going to be arrested. He is going to be tried and ultimately crucified on the cross. And yet he's telling his disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be there with you, even in spite of these upcoming struggles and difficulties." And in the same way, Joshua is telling the Israelites, you can be strong, you can be courageous, not in and of yourself, not because of someone or something else in your life, even if it's a good thing, but you can be strong, you can be courageous because God goes with you. He does not leave or forsake you. Not only does Joshua tell the Israelites what they are to do, not only does he tell them why they are to do that, but he also indicates or says to them how they are to do this. Go back in verses 1 to 9, and let's look specifically at verses 7 to 8. Joshua says in verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Joshua tells the Israelites and us today how we are to be strong and courageous. Why we are to be strong and courageous? Because we are called to keep the book of the law. You see, the secret, you could say, of not only Joshua's success, but Israel's success hinges on their willingness, not just to be strong and courageous, not just to understand and believe that God is with them, but on their keeping the book of the law, following after God's commands, his directives, his instructions. And I would argue that it's not just a following after in their heads, doing something, you could say, on autopilot or because someone has told them to do it, but doing it because they believe in their hearts that this is what God desires. This is honoring to God. This is pleasing to God. This is what God wants from me as a way to show my love for him. To not turn from the law or what is commanded of us. To be careful to obey it. To not let God's word leave our heart or our mouth. To be thinking or deliberating or meditating on it throughout the day. Now, this doesn't mean that the entire day, 24/7, God's word has to be on our mind, although that's not a bad thing. But this is a, you could say, a continual reflection or a reminder or a remembrance throughout the day of God's word, God speaking to us. That is, you could say, the secret of Joshua's and the Israelites' success as they understand, as they apply, as they seek out God and through his word, that will lead them to being strong and courageous. Not just knowing that God is always with them, but seeking him through the reading of the word, keeping his commandments, his orders. Lastly, I'd like to close by having us look at verses 10 to 18. Again, Joshua has assumed command over the Israelites. He's trying to fill the big shoes that Moses has had in his 40 years of leadership. In verses 10 to 18, we're going to see an indication of, you could say, a test of Joshua's leadership, or whether or not his leadership is received by the Israelites. In verses 10 to 18, let me just read these verses. It says, "And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over, armed before you, your brothers, and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers, as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses the servant of the Lord gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. The test of the acceptance of Joshua's leadership is found in verses 10 to 18. Again, the test of Joshua's leadership is found in verses 10 to 18. In verses 10 to 11, we see Joshua calling all the tribe, all the Israelites, you could say, to cross over the Jordan River. Now, I never realized that you're listening to this through audio only, but the nation of, or you could say the land that God is giving the Israelites. At the center of this land, going north to south, is the Jordan River. The Jordan River, in essence, kind of splits Israel, you could say, into halves, into the west side of the Jordan and the east side of the Jordan River. And Joshua is now calling the people to cross the Jordan into the promised land. And crossing the Jordan, you could say, is a major threshold that the Israelites are now, in essence, receiving the land that God is giving them. But not only does he talk to all the Israelites, all the 12 tribes of Israel, but in verses 12 to 15, he specifically directs his attention and speaks to the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Reuben, and the tribe of Gad, or I should say the half-tribe of Manasseh, and why he specifically, you could say, singling out these 2.5 tribes is because these tribes have been given the land east of the Jordan River. They, you could say, in essence, have already received their land. And yet he's calling these Israelites, or he's reminding these 2.5 tribes of the pledge that they had made earlier in Numbers chapter 32. You can look at that on your own. Numbers 32. All the tribes, or Moses, you could say, had called all the tribes to, in essence, defend one another, to fight for one another. They were not, you could say, individual states or individual tribes, even though they were individual tribes, but collectively they were to defend, fight, support one another. And the tribes, in essence, had pledged to, yes, support one another. And now Joshua is telling these 2.5 tribes to fulfill their pledge or their vow to support their fellow Jews or Israelites. Earlier in verses 10 to 11, where Joshua called all the tribe to cross over the Jordan, you could say that that's something that all the tribes were eager to do, because in essence they were gaining possession of their land. That's something that all of them, no doubt about it, in my mind at least, were eager, more than happy to do. But now in verses 12 to 15, these 2.5 tribes that in essence already have their land, already have what's been promised to them, are now called to, you could say, leave that land and go and help support and help fight for the other tribes to receive their land. What's going on here is, I would suggest, a little harder, a little more involved, a little more perhaps difficult, challenging for someone to hear. And in essence, maybe perhaps in our own lives, we may be in similar circumstances where we may need to say something to someone, or maybe we need to receive a message from someone that may not be particularly to our liking, maybe not even perhaps to our benefit, and yet it is something we need to do. We are called to do. For these 2.5 tribes, they are being called to fulfill their pledge or their promise to help support their fellow Israelites. They could argue, they could say, well, we got ours. You know, you guys, that's on you. That's your tough luck. You guys have to take care of your own business. But because of the pledge, the problem, because of the fact that they're, in essence, one people, they are not 12 separate tribes, but they're one people, the people of God, the Israelites. There's this call to unity that Joshua is calling them to fulfill. And maybe again, for you, in the context of your circumstances, you're being called to fulfill a pledge or a promise or to adhere for the ideal of unity in some way or form or context. But not only does Joshua call the Israelites to cross the Jordan, and he calls specifically these 2.5 tribes to fulfill their pledge or their promise, but notice what happens in verses 16 to 18. In verses 16 to 18, it is not so much Joshua who is making the command or making the call, but it is now the Israelites themselves who are responding to Joshua's call and Joshua's command, which I would say is really the Lord's call, the Lord's command speaking to Josh or through Joshua. It is now in verses 16 to 18, the Israelites who respond back and they say, we will do as you have commanded. We will do in verse 16. In verse 17, just as we obeyed Moses, we will also obey you. But not only that, in verse 18, they also say to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Right, this very message which they have heard from Joshua himself. And not only they have heard from Joshua, but they have also heard from Moses, ultimately hearing it from the Lord. They themselves now turn around and tell Joshua to be strong and courageous. And as I mentioned earlier, at the beginning of the message, perhaps this is the greatest indication that someone has not only heard an instruction, an order, a commandment to do something, but that they in turn pass on, follow through, and give that order, give that command, give that directive to someone else. That perhaps is the greatest indication that they have internalized it. They are not just simply doing it because you told them to do, even though it may be the right thing to do, but they are now telling someone else to also do this. Maybe for you, in your context of your life, you need to call someone else to do something. Turn around with the commands, with the guidelines, with the orders that you have received, and pass it on to someone else. Just like we talked about passing the torch in a relay race, passing the baton from one runner to the next, in some way, shape, or form, in the context and circumstances of the life, you're being called to pass that baton to someone else. Who is that person? How will you pass it on? It may take a while. It may not just be a one-time shot, but a continual reminder or call to that person to receive that baton, to receive that torch, and they in turn, to Lord willing, pass it on to someone else. Let me pray for us. God, again, we thank you that really, as we think about, as we are reminded about faith in Christ, it is we have received the good news from someone else in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's a person speaking to us themselves, whether it's a piece of literature that we have read or we have received, in some way, shape, or form, that message has been communicated to them through another person. And ultimately, the source of that message is you. Throughout history, throughout the Christian history, throughout time of human history even, it has been a message that has been passed down from one person to the next, from one generation to the next. Lord, may we not only receive and believe that message, but be willing to pass it on, to share that good news with another person or persons. Lord, again, we thank you that you entrust us with that message. Though we are sinners, though we fall short, you have given us that message, not only to believe, not only to receive, but to pass on to others. We thank you, pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go on and have a blessed day, and hope to see you soon. God bless.